One, two. Okay. Was that 2 seconds? Maybe my seconds are quick. Hey, everybody.
Everybody.
All right, we are here for Growing with NTI. If you hear a weird creaking noise in the background tonight, it's my dining room chairs. We've been banished by my son and my grandson from the bedroom, so where we know the study where we normally do this. So, okay, so so glad all of you could be here with us tonight. Hey, Doreen. Hey, Cheryl. Hey, radio listeners.
Everybody out there in Radio Land, it's gonna be a great show tonight. So glad you're here.
Seriously, and Connie was saying, and talking about, well, we only teach ourselves, or we only teach what we need to learn. So that's what we're doing here. And so we let's just take a minute and say a prayer. Yeah, and I just pray from the depths of my heart that that we do teach what we need to learn, and that and I know that the only way that that will come through is if the personalities that we often believe ourselves to be, if we get those folks out of the way and really let inner wisdom come through and show us the truth that's here for us to see. Amen. So, you wondered whether I was going to pray at all, didn't you, after that long silence? No? All right. I swear she can talk. She's going to talk some tonight, right, Connie?
Well, I'll talk plenty.
All right, good. So here we are. We are Luke chapter 21, which is in NTI, Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, page 173. Bottom of that page, Luke chapter 21. And so I tell you, true reward comes only from full surrender to God.
It seems like that ought to be underlined.
Yeah, I underlined mine twice, actually.
Oh, and you got a star too.
It's really important. Maybe we ought to spend a minute.
A minute with it.
Oh, shoot. True reward comes only from full surrender to God. Well, actually, I'm glad you emphasized it, Connie, because I think that there really is something here to see, and that for me to see, and that is I had this. We talk about what our underlying beliefs are, and we do root cause inquiry and that sort of thing, to get to our underlying beliefs. The beliefs that we structure our lives around, and who we believe ourselves to be, and who we believe the world to be. And one of my underlying beliefs is has been one of my guiding lights, right? One of my structuring beliefs has been this idea that you're rewarded for hard work. Hard work is rewarded. And in contrast, as with everything in duality, failure to do hard work is, I don't know if it's punished, but it's not rewarded at any rate, right?
Right.
And so, and from there, stems my whole sense of justice and injustice, right? Well, they didn't work as hard as I did. Right, and look what they got. That's not fair, right? But I mean, I think that it's a real foundation. You all may have heard, you all of you all, hi Debbie,
Hey, Debbie.
may have heard me tell the story before of where Regina and I were working through something that I was dealing with, and I said something about, well, hard work should be rewarded. And she's like, that's not true. And I went, what? And my world really fell out from under me. I mean, I could feel the foundation crack. It was as if you could hear, you know, the universe crack for me. Because it's, that wasn't true. It's not a true thought. It's no more true than anything else.
Isn't that funny that that's a cliche, and that self-inquiry stuff always comes down to the cliches, really. I mean, you think, oh, my whole foundation is built on cliches, but that's, we live our life from one cliche to the next.
Yeah, and that's it. You dig down, you're doing all this hard work. Oh, look what I found, another cliche.
I know, yeah. How deep am I?
So all of this to say that this statement, true reward comes only from full surrender to God, is a new, is a real new twist on that. You know, I don't know, maybe it is new now. I was going to say it was new. Maybe when I underlined it once or the second time or when I started. But true reward comes only from full surrender to God. Well, many of us may experience full surrender as, Debbie says the same thing. It's the way I've lived my life. Hard work, big rewards. Right. And many of us may see full surrender as hard work. But in reality, it's the easiest thing we could do. The giving up of the efforting is what surrender is. It's the loving all method. It's allowing things to be what they are, and not needing to somehow, you know, orchestrate things so that, you know, work, oh, I can just get this thing to move this way and that one to move that way, I'll be happy forever, right? But, you know, so it's actually the opposite of efforting, this full surrender. So it's the opposite of the hard work that I have been talking about. So my formula was true reward comes from hard work, but that's false. That's 180 degrees false. And that's what we were talking about last week when we were here, that everything that we believe in this world is 180 degrees completely opposite, the absolute upside down opposite of the truth. So it's really kind of funny to see that this opposite statement from the one that I always used to guide me, true reward comes from hard work, and when in reality, its true reward comes from full surrender to God.
Yeah, so it's, and of course, it's only the ego that doesn't want to do the surrendering. And even in the course, they talk at different places, they talk about, you know, holding stuff back. You know, you think you're surrendering, and then you go, well, this is a really important one. I can't give this one over. So you find yourself in partial surrender, and I think they're going to address that here too, or the Holy Spirit's going to address it here.
Okay, so shall we read the next sentence?
Let's read on.
There can be no other way. Partial surrender is not to let go of control.
There it is.
That's a weird way to say it, but that's what it's saying. Partial surrender is not to let go of control, and to keep control is to keep the truth firmly hidden from your sight. For the truth is not control. Is that you? The truth is complete and perfect love of freedom. Yeah, again, I mean, that's just what we were just talking about. You know, I think that, first of all, the illusion of control is, if you look at it, one of the more obvious illusions, because we're never in control. The idea that we might be in control is what keeps us bound in the illusion. Yeah, to keep control is to keep the truth firmly hidden from your sight, for the truth is not controlled. The truth is its opposite, right? Again, it's opposite. The truth is complete and perfect love of freedom. And that doesn't mean just my freedom. That means your freedom to be what you are, my love of your freedom, my love of the freedom of life to unfold exactly the way that life unfolds. Right? That's the truth. That's not only the truth, but it's, but that is freedom. You know, it's not, you know, to have, you give, right? So if I want freedom, I have to give freedom, and I give freedom to all people and all things. And that's how I experience my own freedom.
Yeah, and of course we know this is true, and any of us that have done that inquiry, self-inquiry class, when you go through that and you get to the other side, you've worked through your cliche and realized how incredibly, utterly that it's not true and how it's ruled your life and they're just a weight lifted. Well, that is the freedom that they're talking about here. It's the truth. It's complete and perfect love of freedom.
Hi, Dove. Welcome. I caught your message on the radio on Sunday, Dove. It was great. Thanks for doing that. Let's see. So we're at Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 38, bottom of page 173 in NTI. It is time that we talk about fear, for I have said that fear can keep you from me. This is true, and it could never be true. It could never be true that anything could keep you from me, because we are always one. That is what must be true, or we would not exist. But it is also true that fear can keep you from me, in that fear can keep the peace and knowledge of what I am from your awareness. And this is to keep the truth of what you are from your awareness too.
Wow, that's pretty profound. Because I've realized that is my fear. My fear of surrendering is that, I'm not quite convinced that the promise is the is going to be there on the other side of that surrender.
So you think you give everything up and then you walk through an empty door into an empty space and go, damn it.
Damn it, I knew it.
Right? We have spoken of the mind that must be shared, which you believe you have taken for yourself. This mind you believe you have stolen from God. You must know that it is impossible to steal this mind from God, because the mind is God, and God cannot be stolen from itself. So how is it that you think you have stolen it? The mind that is God is what it is, and it cannot be changed. But you, as one with this mind, had a wish that it could be different. And then, within the freedom granted by being of mind, you began to make your wish fulfilled. There is nothing wrong with this exploration of thought in which you chose to engage, except for the error in which you believe that your thought could not live if it was shared. In this error, you developed your first misperception of yourself. For in this error, you created the belief that you could be separate from God. And then you judged yourself for what you thought you did, and you found yourself guilty of disrupting the existence of the truth that is God. You know, which should sound a whole lot like the tiny man idea from A Course in Miracles, right? This was the fall from grace. But it's interesting that it was all accomplished within one tiny thought. Because you wondered if something could be different, and immediately it was different. And not only was it different, you believed it. And that's, you believed this idea of separation immediately, because you thought that there was something that couldn't be shared. So as soon as you had the thought, what if something was different than one, you got the thought of separation immediately on its heels, and seemingly with no choice. It's just, you know, bam, and it was there. And it's just really cool.
Big bang.
The big bang.
Yeah. Disrupting is an appropriate word here because God, as best as it can be described, is sharing the existence of love. Wow, so again, to go back to the story, the first mistake, once you went, I wonder if it was different, was the belief that there was something that couldn't be shared. And if God is everything that is, and God is sharing, it's just really cool, again, to see, bam, the big bang, right? It's just really cool to see how that works. By choosing that God be something different, you had to decide that different, well, it just says that here. You had to decide that different must be that it could not be shared. And to not be shared must be a disruption of that which is shared. This seemed to be the creation of a private mind with private thoughts and its own private abilities. But since you saw this as a disruption that destroyed the essence of what God is, you saw this as a sin and judged yourself as guilty. And what could come of such a judgment except fear? Now take a moment to accept all that I'm telling you, even if you cannot understand it as yet. I'm telling you this. The Spirit of God is one. Nothing exists that is not within the Spirit of God. You exist, and so you must be within the Spirit of God. That which is within the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. Therefore, you cannot be separate from the Spirit of God.
It's a I Heart Huckabee's where he's explaining to that kid about what is by holding up the sheet.
Yeah.
And he says, this is all there is.
Yeah, he makes bumps in the sheet and goes, this is the Eiffel Tower, and this is
a hamburger.
And
this is sex.
Right, but it's all within the sheet. Well, and the interesting thing is, and I heard Fred Davis talk about it a couple weeks ago, and I recently listened to one of Fred's books. It was really, really enlightening. He talked about the fact that we get the concept of one, except we forget to place ourselves within the one. It's like, there, yeah, I get oneness, and then there's me, and then there's oneness.
What a little ego.
Right? Whereas he seems to be teaching in his awakening encounters, sessions that he has with people is... there's one, and guess what? You're it. And again, I mean, it's just our minds are wired in such a way, you know, because we filter everything through the thinking mind. And given that oneness is beyond the thinking mind, it's beyond the thinking mind's capacity to understand it, and that's why we get there's oneness and then there's me,
right.
My little thinking mind, right? So while you get it, you go, oh, yeah, I get that, I'm thinking mind, but you don't get it. You don't get that there's only one. You don't get that everything occurs within the oneness that you are. Not that God is. Not within the oneness that God is, and then there's me. It's all within the oneness that I am. How could it be? It wouldn't be oneness if it weren't within the oneness that I am, right?
Yeah, it would have to be the duality. If it didn't include me, it would have to be the duality.
Yeah, anything else is duality. So that just, that, you know, that kind of twists your brain a little bit where you're
walking,
right? But yeah, if you can sit with that. And that's what's being said here, which is funny because it's like, it's real simple language. This isn't hard, but we apparently can't hear it.
Come on, bozo.
Right? The Spirit of God is one. Nothing exists that is not within the Spirit of God. You exist. And so you must be within the Spirit of God. It's simple logic, right? That which is within the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. Therefore, you cannot be separate from the Spirit of God. I mean, it's real simple logic. You know, I mean, we you kind of hear the angels sing. Oh. But, I mean, it's very, very logical as well. It's like, look, if there's only one thing, it's got to be you and
You be it.
You be it. Yeah, normally, this isn't a shared program, Wow Dude. So normally we don't share the mic. We can share it with folks that we know, but I don't know Wow Dude. So, anywho. Let's see. So we are on page 175. Second paragraph of Holy Spirit's interpretation. We're on page 175 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament.
Verse 30.
You have believed that you are separate from God, a separate entity with private thoughts that are not shared. And for these thoughts, of which you believe you are responsible, you have judged yourself as guilty. And yet there must be something within you that does not believe these thoughts are private, because you also believe you will suffer for having these thoughts, which means you know they are shared. This seeming conflict is the basis of your belief in fear. That's amazing, isn't it?
How conflicted we are.
Yeah, over nothing. Over nothing. First of all, this paragraph talks about these thoughts which we believe we're responsible for. And we're not responsible for them anyway. I mean, if anybody's responsible for them, oneness is responsible for them. How do I know that? Because there's only one thing. Who else could be responsible for them, right?
Sure.
So how could I do something to offend myself and then be in trouble for it? I mean, it's impossible. So if there are thoughts floating around, it's got to be because of this wish to have an experience of something different than it actually is. So poof, again, big bang, poof. What do you get when you get the big bang? You also get these thoughts that are floating around. And I go, oh, look at that. I must have thought that. And I reach up and I pull it down and look at it and think that it's something that I'm responsible. Not only am I responsible for it, but I'm in trouble for it.
And you believe it's you.
Yeah. And then I collect all of these thoughts into a little bag, like this bag of bones, and go, there I am. And think I'm, and absolutely think that, I'm responsible. We scare the bejesus out of Wow Dude.
Hang in there, Wow Dude. It's okay. Okay.
But the real emphasis of this particular paragraph is the idea that it doesn't even make any sense. Even if any of that were possible, it doesn't make any sense because we think we're in trouble because we've done something that can't be shared and we're going to get caught because it can be shared.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
Which is what the ego is just conflict.
Yeah, conflict. Yes. We're going to go over this more slowly. Let's look at this more slowly once again, for there is an inconsistency here that you must see and recognize if you are to let fear go. The inconsistency is this. You believe I have made a private mind with private thoughts, which are mine alone, which must mean that I am guilty of disruption of the sharing of thought that is God. And yet, I believe that this error I have made is seen, because I know that thought cannot not be shared. That's interesting. I know you don't hear it sound like Master Teacher or A Course in Miracles very often. Because I know that thoughts are shared, is what it says, right? And yet I believe that this error I have made is seen because I know that thought cannot not be shared. And so I expect and fear punishment for all I believe I have done. And there, within your own thought and belief, is the insane idea that maintains your fear and yet can never be. For if you were guilty of making a mind that disrupted the flow of the mind of God, that mind would be private. and it would not be shared. Therefore, God could not seek to punish you because he would not be aware. What is the truth of all your thoughts and all of your beliefs? The truth is that they are based on a premise of separation, which cannot be true. And since they are based on a premise that cannot be true, your thoughts in themselves cannot be true either, which means there is no guilt and there can be nothing to fear. Why have I chosen now, at this point in the New Testament, to tell you this? Because when you look on this, I want you to realize what it is that Jesus intended his apostles to know. It is your fear that makes the world you fear seem real. Let me read it again. It is your fear that makes the world you fear seem real. When you have seen that the source of all that you believe is thought, a misperception within the thought of the idea of a private mind, you will see that it is nothing, and in that instant, it will be gone.
That's pretty nice. That's a nice promise. Might as well do it now, I guess.
Yeah, it continues to be that promise you talked about that you think is
that
might
you're fearful of.
Right, because you think might be taken away, might not really be a promise.
Right. Yeah, so the idea of a private mind is the misperception. Because the ego, which is a conglomeration of seemingly private thoughts, is the misperception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the truth is, we're all a part. I'm going to read that part again about the Spirit of God. Is the truth of who we are. The Spirit of God is one. Cool beans.
Yeah, and it's not one plus. One. Okay, NTI Luke chapter 22. This is on page 176. The thoughts within your mind can seem to take you in circles. You can seem to move from understanding to confusion at lightning speed, which makes you dizzy. Do not let this concern you. When this seems to happen within your mind, you are witnessing your own resistance, struggling in a fight for survival. Remember that I have told you this is your fear of healing. Remember, I have shown you that your fear of healing must be sickness. Be grateful that your sickness has come to the surface where it may be healed. Remember that the way in which you let sickness be healed is simply to rest in its presence. Yeah, and we talked about this last week as well. You know, the fact that this stuff is coming up is a good thing because it's coming up to be healed. We talked about the glass of water that you, glass of mud that you poured the clean water into. You know, it's not going to be clean water at first. You get the globs of the mud have to come up, right? This is the same thing. Be grateful that your sickness has come to the surface where it may be healed. If you're continuing to repress it based on your fear of retribution for what it is that you think you've done, which you've never done, then that stuff stays stuck down on the bottom, right? You repress it and you keep it stuck down in your psyche. And yet, if you open yourself to healing, this stuff is going to come up. And that's what this is saying. Be grateful that your sickness has come to the surface where it may be healed.
Right, which is once again just looking at the it's doing the inquiry to see what concepts of separateness to see their untruth.
Yeah. So it's you know, when you talk about doing inquiry, you know, we've been talking about it. We've talked about root cause inquiry, but we've also, you know, recently adopted the practice of saying, you know, who does this thought serve? Does it serve Holy Spirit or does it serve ego? You know, so even if you're not going to the core concepts,
the depth of,
yeah, you still can use inquiry to have healed your illusions that rise to the surface, you know, because some of that, I mean, because, you know, it seems like if you go along this path, you do get greater insight. Your mind does begin to mature so that, you know, so that at least you've read enough of this stuff, you've heard enough of this stuff, you know that, you know, that if it's like anger-based, fear-based, jealousy, you know, you can recognize those things as ego. And you can also say, I see those are ego, and even though I seem to be attached to that particular reaction at this particular time, I can let that go and have Holy Spirit guide my actions, or just let it go, rest, accept, and trust.
Yeah, I think what this points out, at least in my mind, what this points out is, you know, how unconscious I've been. Now, whether I do the inquiry or this just asking, you know, why am I making this call? It's guilt that this is the reason I'm making this call. Oh, well, guilt, of course, is not of the Holy Spirit. Guilt has to be of the ego. So, let's just not make the call. But the point I'm trying to make is, without the question of why, and you framed it slightly different, but it's the same questions. Without, that's been a big lesson for me. If I ask the question why, I realized before I never asked the question, which means I'm just doing things unconsciously.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not, and who wants to quote unquote live life unconsciously, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. We want a conscious life. And I think that's really what's being asked for in this surrender thing. It's just, you bring it to light, and that is the surrender. A step at a time.
A step at a time, yeah. I mean, because you're not insisting you're right about how you feel. You're not insisting that you get your way.
Exactly.
You recognize your own upset, and you bring it to the light, and you just go, I can see this is not of Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's surrender, yeah. I keep looking up and seeing that you scare the bejesus out of me.
I think you scared him right out of the...
No, he got red dotted and left.
I don't know what that means.
That means he was muted
because
he was disruptive. And then he left. Okay, but it's funny to look up, keep looking up and seeing that.
Well, I thought it was funny because we were reading this stuff on fear. It is your fear that makes the world you fear seem real, and he's over there going, you scare the bejesus out of me. So yeah, the ego is going to be really scared of this stuff that says, you know, you don't have any self-will that would be of any value.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing us back to that sentence too. And I think we went on down to the next chapter, but I think that's a really important sentence that we didn't spend a lot of time with. It is your fear that makes the world you fear seem real. And it's funny because there's something right here. It's one of those tip of the tongue experiences, something that wants to be said, but it just won't come through this muddy brain. Yeah, because and the idea is, you know, our unwillingness to be healed allows our delusion to continue. And our unwillingness to be healed is based on our fear that we've done something wrong. So that keeps us within the illusion, within the delusion. And so we're going, oh my God, I fear you, world, I fear you. And the only reason we fear the world is because it seems real. And why does it seem real? Because we've made it real in our minds, because we refuse to be healed. So it's our resistance that keeps things so awful, so ugly, right? It's our resistance that keeps us in this fear, our unwillingness to know the truth of ourselves. And we're unwilling to know the truth of ourselves because we're confused, because we believe that to look up, to uncover our eyes, will result in punishment. And that's all a misperception. That's all the tiny man idea.
Yeah.
And so you need to just drop that. When your sickness comes up, that's the surrender that we're talking about. You need to just go, oh my God, here it is. Please take it. Right? I mean, really, the advice is to really sit with how you're feeling and that sort of thing. So I'm being a little bit facetious when I'm like, oh my God, please take it. But really, to just be with that fear and acknowledge it, whatever form your sickness is taking, whether it's anger or fear or jealousy, it's all some form of fear, and to surrender it. And the reason we surrender it is because we're either in surrender or we're either continuing to build this world of fear.
So you can use it if you're afraid of this, of the big surrender. You can take it as steps and just look at it like that is, oh, here's my challenge. Let me ask why. Get the answer, Holy Spirit or ego, and give it up in that moment. So you're doing it step by step until there's a threshold, or that's what I've been told, until that threshold was reached and I'm no longer afraid of the big Gwanda, big surrender.
Cheryl thinks the fella left because we were talking about no private thoughts. Yes. Cheryl also notes, protection is the illusion, and in my defenselessness, my safety lies. Yeah, absolutely. That's the surrender, right? Hey, Kathy. Kathy just joined us.
Hey, Kathy.
Okay. And again, here's so we're gonna start chapter 22 over again. We just talked about it. That just puts a nice cap on it.
Right.
Summary. It says the thoughts within your mind can seem to take you in circles. You can seem to move from understanding to confusion at lightning speed, which makes you dizzy. Do not let this concern you. When this seems to happen within your mind, you are witnessing your own resistance struggling in a fight for survival. Remember that I've told you this is your fear of healing. Resistance is fear of healing. Remember, I've shown you that your fear of healing must be sickness. Be grateful that your sickness has come to the surface where it may be healed. So when you seem to be struggling, be grateful that the sickness has come up, so that it can be healed. Remember that the way in which you let sickness be healed is simply to rest in its presence, not try and fix it, not try and make it go away, not try and shove it back down to the bottom with all the muck and the mud, but just to rest, accept, and trust. Do not get caught up in the struggle to understand what cannot be understood. Remember, I have told you this is a ploy of resistance. Instead, rest. Give your faith and willingness to me that you may be healed through your decision to rest and trust. And I'll tell you, I went through a struggle recently with somebody I was just in disagreement with, and I just felt like I was right. I was right. I was right. I was right. People don't behave that way. You shouldn't behave that way. That's just, that's ungrateful. It's unkind. I mean, I had lots of them, right? I have several more adjectives I could throw out, but I was convinced that the way they were behaving was incorrect, and the way I was behaving and the way I thought it ought to be was right. Right, right, right. I got a point here. I'm going to get to it as soon as I remember it. And so to hear that it doesn't matter, and Regina was helpful with this, but to hear that it doesn't matter who's right, again, is another one of those things where you go, wait a minute, this is one of my foundation thoughts. What do you mean it doesn't matter who's right? You know, it doesn't matter, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, Connie and I talk about this on this program all the time. We talk about how, you know, you have these certain, beliefs about how the world should operate, about how people ought to operate the world, and how none of that's true. Yeah, I mean, we say it. It comes right out of our mouths. It comes right out of mine. And then you have a real encounter with it. Right? Kathy says, here come the judge. Yeah, the judge come out. That's right. But really, it's like, I mean, you know, my feelings are hurt, and how could this person act like that? And all I asked for was this, and you know, and it's like, and it kind of just seems to take on a life of its own. Yeah. And then it seems like there's the real right way to be. I mean, it's like, yeah, but, you know, so to be told in the midst of this that it doesn't, that even if the facts, even if you asked every person on the planet, was this person right or wrong? And they said, no, that person was wrong. That would not matter. Because if your goal is to be right, if your goal is to have your version of the way the world should be the way the world is, then that's not the goal. That's not the goal for awakening. The goal has to be, I want to have my mind healed. It can't be, I want to have my mind healed, and while we're at it, can you tell that person they're wrong? And there's somewhere else I know that I've read it many times in NTI. It's somewhere in here it says, you know, bring your illusions to me, but don't bring them to me thinking I'm going to go, yeah, you sure are right, right? That I'm going to support you in your illusions. The idea is, again, it's the choice about who does this serve. Does this serve ego or does this serve Holy Spirit? Does this serve ego or does this serve my awakening? That's the same question, by the way. So to ask the question, who's right? Well, who does that serve? That sure doesn't serve awakening. So it has to be the opposite. What were you looking for?
I was looking for, just doing that lesson, telling myself here, something about your defenses, that a defense is always just a partial of the whole. It's just a part. So we take this. We can't see the truth because we know this little segment is right. But that is so insignificant in the scheme of things. Okay, those two words of all of creation are right.
You're right, even if they were.
Even if they were. They're just it's just, you're just missing the whole point by crawling up the wrong vein here, right? Yeah, okay. Maybe in worldly matters you got that one right, but
you know, even the belief in there being a right position is a fundamental building block of this world, a fundamental building block of separation, because it's like if you're right, that means somebody else is wrong. I mean, it either is what it is, which is oneness, right? And I'm loving it. Or I'm right and you're wrong. Or for that matter, you're right and I'm wrong. But it's still duality.
Yeah, and I think that's a point of and you know, him the talking about being defenseless.
Yeah. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. Right, right. Because I'm not setting up a world of rules. I'm not buying into the whole shebang, the whole separation shebang, which is exactly what this sentence, again, at the top of page 176 says, it is your fear that makes the world you fear seem real. I mean, it's the same you know, it's all cyclical like that. It's all circular like that, because it's my belief that there is a right that makes a right and a wrong.
Right.
My belief in right makes the wrong. Right? Because it's duality. There's no, how can there be a right and a wrong? It's impossible.
Yeah.
So there. I told you I was right. and all that was brought about by this sentence that says, do not get caught up in the struggle to understand what cannot be understood. So, you know, so the mind will go, well, wait a minute, there's got to be a right and a wrong. I mean, you can't just blah, 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 whatever, right? But it's not about understanding that, you know, it's not about understanding the loving all method. It's not about understanding anything. It's about being faced in the right direction, right, towards truth, towards awakening, and taking those steps towards awakening. And nothing else, like you said, nothing else is significant. It's all insignificant. Remember, I've told you that this is a ploy of resistance. Instead, rest. Give your faith and willingness to me that you may be healed through your decision to rest and trust. There are two voices in your mind. This I have told you before, but this I say again because it is of the utmost importance. Your mind is split. This is why you hear two voices. One voice may be most easily identified as your thoughts, while the other voice, when you hear it, may seem to come from God. Do not be deceived by what seems to be the difference in these two voices. The one that seems closest to you is the voice that is furthest from your reality. And this is why you have been confused until now. Remember all that I have taught you. Remember the story of the vineyard, for that story will be most helpful to you now. How is it that one who has stolen a vineyard would be likely to think? What would he feel like? Would he not, didn't say that, I just read that in there. Would he not feel like a betrayer and so feel guilty? Would he not expect some type of reprisal and so fear attack? Would he not prepare for his own defense and also defend himself whenever he sensed the possibility of attack? These are the characteristics of the ego, which are the thoughts in your mind that are based on the belief that you have stolen your mind or yourself from God. If you observe your thoughts carefully, you will notice that these veins are inherent within their flow. Reprisal, fear of attack, defense, guilt. He says, but I have already told you that this is impossible for you to have stolen yourself from God. For you are within God, and you are one with God. Therefore, this entire flow of thought, all of which seems to have meaning for you, is based upon one meaningless premise. What is based upon meaninglessness and built upon meaninglessness must also be meaningless. Any meaning it seems to have is only imagined, and what is imagined is not real.
Or true. Or true,
yeah. This is why I have asked you to evaluate your thoughts. Listen to the thoughts in your mind, whether they seem to be thoughts about you, someone else, or thoughts about your world. Are they not based on a belief in guilt that is based on a belief in separate wills, separate desires, or separate behaviors? Do they not include thoughts of fear, worry, or a sense of foreboding? And do you not take actions or have thoughts of defending and protecting yourself? All of this is meaningless because it is based on a false image of yourself and your world. It is based on the false belief that all you experience is separate from the reality of God. Now, let's talk about the other voice that you hear. This is bottom of page 177. Luke chapter 22, verse 29. Now let's talk about the other voice that you hear, the voice that seems to come from God. The voice may seem to come to you as a knowing or an intuition, But when you trust it and do as it asks, you recognize it as God. This voice seems based on safety, an inherent and invulnerable safety. This voice seems based on love. This voice you call God, because it seems to be everything that cradles and comforts and cares for you. And yet, recognition of the voice came from within you, which means something within you knows this voice and remembers the voice and recognizes its familiarity. What is within you is within you, and therefore must be a part of you. If you are able to recognize the voice for God when you hear it, then God must be within you. And if God is within you, you cannot be separate from God. Again, that goes back to what we're talking about. There's only one thing going on, and it's you. Right? It's not oneness plus.
And that's pretty good logic there. If it's coming from you, it's got to be you. It's got to be the oneness.
Yeah, if you recognize this as truth, it has to be. And so this is what you are to do. You know that you want the comfort and peace of God. And now you know that this comfort and peace comes from within. So what you must do is choose the comfort and peace of God by denying anything that you recognize as alien to that comfort and peace. For if it is not of God, it does not exist. It is merely sickness born of imagined meaning. Therefore, there's nothing to do with it except let it be healed. And this is what we were talking about before that I had been talking about with Regina. Is who does it serve? Does it serve Holy Spirit or does it serve ego? And if it serves ego, it's nothing I want anything to do about. It doesn't matter. Right, wrong, black, blue, red. I mean, none of it matters. Who is it serving? Is it serving egos or is it serving my way? Therefore, there's nothing to do with it except let it be healed. Where you see a need to defend, rest and let that perception be healed. Where you see fear, rest and let that perception be healed. Where you see guilt, rest and let that perception be healed. Whenever you think you're not worthy of all the glory of God, rest and let that perception be healed. As you rest, you will be healed. And, you know, as you rest, right, you quit feeding the story. First, you got to go, I don't care whether I'm right. Right? You got to quit feeding the story. You got to quit believing your own stories and just go. Does this serve my awakening or does this serve ego? And if it doesn't serve awakening, it serves ego. And if it serves ego, you've just got to let it go. You can't continue to feed it. You can't act on it. You can't continue to think about the truth of my beliefs around whatever it is. If as you rest, you will be healed. So if it's of ego, let the story go so that you can be healed.
Yeah, and for me, in that rest, I ask, why am I doing this? And the question of why seems to point quite readily whether it's of the ego or of the Holy Spirit.
Ego can come back and pester you with it. Yeah, but if you don't do that, then what's going to happen next? You know, then you'll really be taken advantage of. Or whatever it is, right? I mean, whatever. But this ego will keep coming back with the story. And so resting may be active. It may be an active resting. Oh, no. I see that's ego again, and I've already decided I'm not buying this story. I'm not following this thought. And so resting may actually be something that you do in an active manner.
Yeah, I get it. Within the mind of health.
Within the mind of health, you will receive guidance. Trust and follow your guidance. It comes but from your true self which is based on truth, not illusion. And yeah, that's where the healing comes in. So it is 7:58. So
is it?
Yeah.
That went back quickly.
Yes, it did. It did. It was fun. So we love you guys. Thanks for letting us do this. It's helpful to us. We hope it's helpful to you.
It's what I needed. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.